David Wilcock is a professional intuitive consultant who, since reading Richard Hoagland's The Monuments of Mars in 1993, has intensively researched ufology, ancient civilizations, consciousness, science, and the new paradigms of matter and energy. He is the author of the critically acclaimed trilogy of scientific research works known as the Convergence series, which gives a definitive support to the idea that change in matter, energy, and consciousness is now occurring on Earth and throughout the solar system. Wilcock has appeared all over radio and television, lectured throughout the United States and Japan, published a variety of magazine articles, and appeared on numerous radio talk shows, has his new show on Gaiam TV. Welcome back to the program, our good friend, David Wilcock. David, how are you tonight, sir?
I'm doing good, buddy. I send you a virtual fist bump through cyberspace.
Right on, man.
Not to be confused with a terrorist fist jab.
Yeah, right. Oh, man. You know what? Insert joke here, but I hear you, my brother. I do hear you. So, David, welcome back to the program. We've got a crazy week in front of us. We'll be seeing you in just a few short days out in Joshua Tree. And looking forward to that. And like I said during the intro, maybe Friday night we'll get you to jump on the air with us for a few minutes. And we'll be behind the big hall. What do they call it? The sanctuary. We're in the hall behind that one.
Noble Hall?
Noble is the hall that you and I hung out in last year. This one is the Lotus Room, which is behind the big dome.
Okay.
So, but we'll see you. We'll see you out there.
Yeah, it's a really cool campus. I mean, for those who haven't been there, it's sort of like this Alice in Wonderland psychedelic playground, you know?
You know, they even have a labyrinth. Did you see the labyrinth?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah, man. I mean, that place is off the hook. I when you go there, and I know that you felt the same thing, and for all of the Fadernauts and the fans of the show that are going to be out there for the first time, when you first set foot on that property, man, you can feel the magic just roll right up your leg. Can't you just feel the energy that's there?
Absolutely. One of the things I'm doing there on Sunday is talking about the history of ET contact at that actual location. I mean, right near where this gathering is, there's Giant Rock.
Yep.
And it all goes back to the history of George Van Tassel and the Integratron. And you had actual extraterrestrial craft coming and landing and people being taken on rides through space. Most of that stuff seems to have been discontinued after the late 50s, early 60s, because the people that they did that for ended up getting inappropriately worshipped and also developing ego problems. So when you read the Law of One, which for me is my philosophical basis of all my investigations, it's a channeled work came in from 1981 to 1984, and I've been able to verify hundreds of specific scientific data points in it. You know, they talked a lot about why those contacts had to be discontinued, because people just couldn't handle it.
I, as you know, I'm a big Van Tassel guy, you know, in Giant Rock. And you know, I think George and the caretaker, that the German guy that had the property before him, they stumbled upon it in that it was already, you know, going back hundreds and hundreds of years in Indian lore about the mysteries that were going on around there. That it's a very sacred place. That entire valley is completely sacred.
Well, and as you know, then there was a Native American or American Indian prophecy. You know, when you actually talk to real American Indians, they don't like the word Native American, which is really funny.
Right.
I had an American Indian girlfriend at one point, so that's how I know that. But anyway, there's an American Indian prophecy that said that when we got to the end of the age, the rock was going to split in half. And that actually happened. A big chunk of it came off.
Big chunk.
So that's one of the really cool things about the legend of this place.
Hey, David, I know that you're going to have to hold back on the temptation of typing on the keyboard, man, during the show.
Oh, I was just playing with my pen. Was that too hard?
I'm just messing with
you. I was tapping my pen on my glass desktop here.
Yeah. It's
okay, sorry about that.
No. It just sounds interesting.
I'll try to be ambient.
Yeah, right. And I want to stay on that Van Tassel subject for a second. I'll say this. Are you taking your guitar to contact?
I probably won't perform. I mean, in venues like this, you don't have time for a sound check and adequate, you know, miking and everything. But
no, I'm talking about you and I playing guitar around a campfire, doing some kumbaya. That's what we should do.
Well, most of my pieces are not really campfire tunes. I work on really intricate fingerstyle stuff. I'm doing a couple Billy Joel songs right now.
Oh, man.
They got all kinds of crazy chords, like A with G sharp in the bass, and D with F sharp in the bass. And I've had to learn how to snap those on really quick in order to make these arrangements work. But it is coming along.
Yeah, that's the problem when you hear a really cool, like Elton John tune or Billy Joel.
That's right.
Piano-based stuff does not play over to guitar, because what you can do with 10 fingers on a piano, you can't do with 5 fingers on a guitar. It's impossible.
I mean, and unless you tune down to D, if you have a song that is in D, which a lot of them are, D major or minor, then you got to go up to the fourth string. You can't get your low D. So that also complicates everything.
Yeah, it just sounds funky. It doesn't sound right without the low D. And, you know, for all of you guitar players out there right now, they're going, yeah, man, Jimmy and David know what they're talking about. Jimmy and David are spot on. Yeah. Back to Contact. With George Van Tassel, I've had on his nephew on the show, Chad Meek, and I've had a few different Van Tassel researchers on the show, and always trying to get to the closure side of giant rock and you know, the big, huge events that Van Tassel would throw out there, and the Integratron. It seems like it just stopped. And I'm interested on what you just said there, that it didn't stop because of necessarily any other events. It happened because of them?
Well, I don't want to totally spoil my talk, but I'll give you some of what I'm going to talk about. And that is, we've had a new insider who came forward, military, you know, highly classified work. He was in the he worked with Reagan's cabinet and Reagan directly during his presidency. And this is actually the guy that was feeding Richard Hoagland most of his insider stuff during his heyday. He's still around. So,
is this the whistleblower that's going under the pseudonym Corey?
No.
This is somebody else.
I call this guy Bruce.
This is Bruce. Okay.
I met him back in Joshua Tree at a conference that Richard Hoagland was hosting. I'd taken 2 years off from conferences. I just had enough.
Right.
Because, you know, all it takes is one or two people following you around and won't stop talking and being really pushy, and that can ruin your whole weekend. So I kind of just was like, I don't want to do this anymore. And when I got back into it, it was Richard talking me back into it. And this guy comes up to me at the end of my talk, throws his arm around my shoulder as I'm walking out of the room, which was strange enough. He goes, "You're about 75% correct."
Oh, no, really?
And I'm like, "Well, what's the other 25? And he said, "Well, come on out to dinner and I'll tell you." I'm like, "Okay." And he sure told me. I mean, I learned all kinds of stuff from this guy. But just to cut to the quick, the honey trap was set up where Howard Hughes hired females to have sex with guys in the Illuminati. Now we're going way down the rabbit hole real fast.
Right.
The aircraft tycoon Howard Hughes paid these women to have sex with these guys, and it was through this that he found out that they consider themselves to be the descendants of extraterrestrial humans. And from the intel that he gathered, he became very interested in this subject and started to go to these giant rock gatherings. And so Howard Hughes was the secret money guy behind why the Integratron got funded in the first place.
Right.
That's where the money came from. The problem was that this device, had it worked properly, and remember, George Van Tassel, for those of you who are listening and don't know this already, he did have telepathic contact with extraterrestrials, and he was brought up into space on their ship, which they don't do anymore for the most part.
That's right.
Back then, they were. And so Van Tassel was given blueprints for a device that, if it had worked, would have created a portal that you could actually use to travel throughout the cosmos. And it's a very interesting building. It's a big wooden dome. And it's got very interesting acoustics in there. And I'm sure, Jimmy, you've been in there innumerable times and tested out the acoustics yourself. It's like if you stand in the middle, it's very strange. And also they do this sound bath thing where you lay down on the floor. Have you ever had that done?
I've heard that they do it really nice out there.
Oh, yeah. All those Tibetan singing bowls with the big crystal bowls.
That's right. That's right.
And you can be literally, just to show you how strange this is, you can be on one side of this dome, and somebody on the other side can be whispering to the person next to them, and you will hear the whispering. But then people that are like 15 feet away from you on the sides, off to your right and left, you don't hear anything they're saying.
Didn't Queens of the Stone Age record an album out there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's a very popular destination. Obviously, it's close to Los Angeles. What people don't really get is that it was intended to be a functioning portal device, and Howard Hughes was given strict instructions by the ETs that he had to make it available to everyone. And then in the final stages, before they'd finished construction, the ETs hadn't given George Van Tassel quite all of the instructions and blueprints necessary to actually make it work. Right there at the end, Howard Hughes says, "We want to use it for the first 2 years just for my elite friends, and then we'll make it available to everybody else." And that was when the ETs pulled the plug.
Wasn't there at some point, wasn't there Tesla coils involved with the Integratron too as well that are no longer there?
Yeah, yeah. There was a whole elaborate setup that was intended to create what amounts to a spiraling field within gravity. Most people don't understand that gravity itself is a dynamic moving force that's actually flowing down into the Earth like water, and it's actually what creates the atoms that make the Earth. And this is not some pseudoscience speculation. Actually, physicist Nassim Harriman, who you've probably interviewed, won the Belgian Physics Prize for a theory that showed that gravity has to be the solution to the weak nuclear and strong nuclear forces, what holds the atom together.
Right.
So then that means if you look at the Earth as if it's an atom, then gravity is what's feeding the Earth to keep all the atoms running. And therefore, if it's a fluid-like energy flowing into the Earth, you can create currents in the energy. You can create spin in the current. And that is what pyramids and these types of domes actually do. They create a vortex in the energy. And the really cool part is that if you build these pyramids and domes in the right places on Earth, and then you have the right planetary alignment, you can actually get this interesting phenomenon where electromagnetic energy is transformed into gravitational energy and vice versa. And not only does that give you free energy and anti-gravity, but it also creates traversable wormholes that can be used to travel both through space and through time.
And I think he also referenced, immortality, cell regeneration.
That's correct. That's another function of what this does, because our bodies, see, I described the energy up until now as dynamic gravity, but it's also the life force that feeds our bodies. And in fact, up to 50% of the health of plants is determined by this energetic flow. And there's lots of simple experiments people can do. Just germinate two sets of seeds, put one inside a pyramid and leave the other one out of the pyramid and wait and see what happens. The pyramid seeds are going to grow a lot faster than the ones that are outside the pyramid.
You know what? To me, it looks like the Integratron, the basic movement of it and everything, it's been well maintained, could probably fire up again. I think you and I should get some Tesla coils together and fire that sucker up. I think that's what we should do. And I'm not joking about this. I think it wouldn't be that difficult, and I think it would really piss a lot of people off. Don't you think we should go out there and see if we can fire it up?
It'd be a cool thing to do. I mean, it would be kind of the equivalent of trying to jump start a Model T from the junkyard when you got Lamborghinis around, but
can be done. Hey, you know what else? There's one other thing that Van Tassel, let's stay on the subject for a second. There's
sure.
One other thing that Van Tassel talked about that I found really, really interesting, and I found a bunch of dead ends. And that was the time machine that he built out in Santa Monica.
Right.
And I found a bunch of dead ends there. The building has to be there. The scientists that he referenced, there's got to be a trail together. I don't want to make a suggestion here in front of a, a large audience and have them go and rain on our parade. But I think that that needs to be investigated. We need to find out where the time machine was and what the designs were behind it, because his description, because they had a couple of successful tests. If you remember, he talks about recording a 7-year-old television broadcast and stuff that happened prior, 7 years prior. Do you have any information on that?
I would highly suspect that all pieces of that machine have been completely confiscated and are probably safely sitting in a wooden crate somewhere in Area 51.
Right. It was so weird to hear him specifically say, very cavalier. Oh, yeah, well, I've got this 5-story building in downtown Santa Monica, and we built this time machine, and it's built based on this formula, and we have this, and we have successfully gone back 7 years. Well, you know, and it was in such a matter-of-fact form that I believe that he built a time machine in downtown Santa Monica.
Once you get the basic physics down, it's actually not that difficult. This is a technology that has been rediscovered redundantly, and when it gets rediscovered, that's when the authorities come in and shut you down. Part of the problem is, we're doing PhD level stuff anyway, so why not just keep going? But the real issue is that this spiraling gravity I was talking about does develop a geometric pattern in terms of how the spirals flow. It's not just evenly spiraling all over the Earth. It has currents. And those currents actually form straight lines that are geometric in nature, historically called ley lines. Part of the problem that happens is that if you build any of this type of technology, you will attract a ley line to the technology. It'll branch off. And they have satellites, the cabal, if you want to call them that, military-industrial complex, has satellites where they will detect a change in the ley lines. And I'll give you an example. I had one guy who I know personally. He was a free energy scientist. And he shared this story with me in confidence. And you could see the terror in his eyes as he told me this story. He was with a group of guys. They were extremely careful. They had total operational security. Nobody knew what they were doing. They had their machine in 5 different components, and they would only bring the components together when they were going to do a test. They tested it. They put all the components together, and it worked. They left it set up overnight. Then the guy, you know, they figured, what the heck, we'll leave it here. Now we got it working. The guy goes off to his son's basketball game. And he comes back 2.5 hours later, and every single thing in his house had been emptied out, including the shower curtain rod.
What did he have in the shower curtain rod?
Probably weed. I don't. That's what we did in college.
Yeah, that was the secret hiding spot. I always thought I was outsmarting everybody. I guess not.
No, I knew about that one too, man.
And the thing is, when I had read about the Tesla coils and the Integratron, then I started to connect a couple of dots here back to Tesla. Van Tassel wasn't getting the Tesla coil information from a dead man, from Nikola Tesla. That information was coming from off world. So does that mean that Tesla's information was off-world too? Am I reaching when I jump to that kind of conclusion?
But that's part of it, yeah. I would also say it's highly likely that Howard Hughes, through the use of these female couriers, obtained the Tesla patents that had been sequestered by the government. And that they were given to George Van Tassel, and that Tassel... What you're describing in Santa Monica most likely was him using a combination of hints from ETs and practical blueprints that he got through this back channel that was coming through Howard Hughes. That's my guess.
There's something more to this story. And with George Van Tassel, he is somebody that I just think was completely squashed. And
no question.
Yeah. When we look at ufology, there's certain stories that we can follow and get into, and there's teeth to the story. with Van Tassel, it seems like he was almost erased from history. And I'm not exaggerating when I say that. Most people have never even heard of Van Tassel, and there's a reason for that.
Well, this strikes to the heart of the cover-up. And you got to remember that we're dealing with religious fundamentalists. The people that run our planet are religious fundamentalists, and it's not Christianity, and it's not Judaism, and it's not Islam. It's Luciferianism. And we're all going to have to sit back and take in the fact, whether we like it or not, you know, playing ostrich doesn't make this go away. The people who have the money, the people who are running the military-industrial complex at the highest levels, they are fundamentalist Luciferians. They believe that Lucifer's the good guy, that the average person is the enemy, that they're useless eaters and worthless sheep, and that they deserve to have dominance over this planet and that we should all serve them. And they're willing to have some of us here, but a lot less than there are now. That's their plan.
Somebody just tweeted, Cortana just tweeted, the secret to the Integratron, guitars and Tesla coils. real quick, we're going to be up against a break in a few minutes. And I want to ask you this question before we get to the break. When it comes to Bruce, and you sit down and you're listening to him, we all know about what goes on out there in our little circle of friends. And so you have to listen to somebody with much skepticism. But there was something that Bruce said to you that made you take everything at face value. What was it?
Oh, it wasn't just something. When you talk to somebody who's real, they just burst with information. They have so many things where you go, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. And I heard that before from this guy, and I heard that before from this guy. And oh my God, you told me that, but I didn't hear that part. It's like there's a whole corpus of data, and it's huge. And he was pinging off stuff that I'd already heard from insiders and had never made public left and right. And the thing is, when you've met 30, 40 different high-level insiders, as I have, and these are people who, in some cases, have never come forward with anybody else but me, and you remember, you know, things that they've told you over the course of countless hours of conversation, everybody starts bringing up the same stuff. You say, well, there's got to be some kind of common ground here. So I could give you some specific anecdotes of things he told me that were really cool, but there's a lot of them.
Okay. I mean, it's... Lead us into the break with one, because I know you, David. I know you got one. Lead us into the break with one.
One of the tastiest things is stuff that he told me he was only authorized to say on behalf of the good guys in the U.S. government. System and inside our Earth. There's stuff everywhere. And I'm going to be showing that this weekend at Contact in the Desert. What the pictures of what they left behind, where it is, what we're looking for, who they were, what did they do, what wars did they fight. And we can talk about a lot of this stuff. I mean, the cabal is being defeated and all this stuff is now supposed to come out.
Can I get on the guest list? Can you squeeze me in the back door? Can I
yeah,
get
sure.
Back, can I get backstage? Can I get
if
an
you
autograph?
See Check out the pictures of the moon Ceres, which is actually a planetoid in the asteroid belt.
Yep.
And they've got these two glowing spots on it. And you'll notice it looks like the surface underneath the dirt is glowing all the time. And what's happening is there is actually an intelligent city under there that's glowing. And as the dirt comes off, you're seeing more of the glow. And that's one of the things that the actual cabal is getting ready to use, because they are going to throw disclosure at us. They've got no other moves left to make. They're going to see which way the public opinion swings. Are they going to have awe or are they going to have fear? And they're prepared to use this for their benefit regardless of which way the pendulum swings. Or so they're planning, but I don't think it's going to work out for them.
Didn't you find it curious when it came to Ceres and those pictures got out that there was no explanation? It was like total silence from the government and from NASA and from JPL. Nobody had anything to say.
Well, it's not total silence. They're making a lot of leading statements. There's a lot of things like, isn't this strange? What do you think this is? It's a signal beacon calling us out to the stars. You know, all this weird stuff.
I mean, Yeah.
It's like watching a child lie and having their hand over their mouth, and you can see they're lying because they don't want the words to come out.
No, the chocolate chip is all around their lips. Right? It's absolutely all melted. Yeah, exactly right. You know, the Oreo cookies are stuck between their teeth, and they're saying, what?
What cookies? What I don't know what cookies? You're talking about.
Let's take a quick break. We'll stop right there. David, a couple of questions just popped into Twitter. First one from David. He says, is it true you live a rather isolated life? I heard you live on a compound type place. Is that is that rumor?
A compound?
A compound, security, guard towers.
Oh, my God. No.
not quite.
I rent a house. I don't own a house. You know, I have an old car. People come up with these funny stories. It's really funny.
I picture you in a motorcade. That's what I see. Allison says, when the event occurs, what happens to the little lives on this planet? The cats, the dogs, the fishes, the birds, the trees?
Well, okay, that question implies that people know what she's talking about, and so a certain amount of backstory would be required. That's not a question you just want to go crashing into.
Right.
We can talk about the event, but it's to do it properly, I think we need to have some setup. And that's more like a advanced question we could get to later. If you have something that's quicker, why don't we do that first?
What do you do? You know, a lot of your fans are listening to this show, too, that have never heard Fade to Black before. And you, when you speak to them, it's not often that you do this, you know, like live, you know, going around the world.
That's true.
Is everything always okay in your life? Or are you, man, are you at risk? I mean, you talk to whistleblowers, but in the bigger picture, you're a whistleblower yourself. Are, you know, is your life in danger, or do you feel okay?
Well, that's an interesting question, because the only reason why I'm alive is because I have spiritual protection. If I did not have spiritual protection, I would have been assassinated many, many times over by now. Or only once, but there would have been many opportunities. It's not for lack of trying. You know, they have definitely... I have really pissed people off, and people who you don't want to piss off unless you have the ability to defend against them. So this gets into why haven't I been killed? And the reason why I haven't been killed is that the universe ultimately is governed by benevolent hyperdimensional beings. The idea of them flying around in a UFO is laughable. They don't need anything like that. They can think themselves to anywhere in the universe they want to be. They don't have bodies as we think of it. If you were going to see them, they probably just look like an orb or a sphere of energy. They're extremely intelligent. They have the ability to simultaneously monitor potentially millions of people's thoughts and actually watch for trends like fractals within large groups of people and how those people are thinking. They tried to explain to me at one point by saying that if you could imagine watching this matrix of televisions, and each television has a different program on it, and yet you're able to track all of them at the same time, and not only that, but to start making spontaneous allegories and analogies between what you're seeing on all the different screens. That's the type of overview that they have of us. And if you want to get into biblical terms, in terms of angelic hierarchy, here we're probably talking about seraphim and cherubim. So those are even higher than archangels.
Right.
And they are real. Now, Ancient Aliens, the show on History Channel that I'm on, they do not allow me to say angels. They don't want that word used at all. They only want me to say extraterrestrials. So that's been a point of contention, but that's a network decision. So there's a certain amount of my information that gets out on Ancient Aliens, but all this kind of stuff you're never going to see on that show. They just don't want it to be on their network. And I think they're pretty upset about it, and that's the major reason why.
Yeah, well, you're up against producers, and it's kind of funny. I had the same experience with Hangar One in that it's their show. It's not
right.
It's not my show.
Right.
It's not your show. And, you know, you could be blowing blood vessels, but it's not going to change the concept for the show.
No, so it's important to understand that, first of all, we're all one and the same being. We're all part of this one infinite consciousness that made the universe. And in my talks, and I am going to be going through this over the weekend at Contact in the Desert, there's new science has come out showing that space and time, matter and energy as we know it, do not exist except as an emanation from a singular geometry, ultimately, is what it is. And that geometry, even though you could define it with coordinate points and say, here is this three-dimensional object that the universe is made from, that object in and of itself does not have space or time as we normally think of it.
I have, you know, I've seen you speak a few times, and Conscious Live, Contact in the Desert, and so forth. And I don't watch you. I watch the audience, right? And I'm I'm serious.
Yeah.
And everybody has got pen and paper out, and I'll watch you up on stage, and you'll say, okay, take out your pen and paper and write this down, and I'll watch 300, 400, 500 people bust out the pen and start writing. Is it like that every time you speak? Are they that focused?
Yes. I try to monitor my whole audience, and I keep looking at everybody's faces. And if there's one person who's distracted or looks bored or starts falling asleep, I will alter the whole talk around that person.
Oh, that ain't right.
No, it is. Because what happens is, I get a better the audience gets a better performance out of me because I'll fight for that one guy.
Right.
I'll fight to bring him back.
Well, it's kind of like playing guitar live. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hear you. Oh, Beckbeat just tweeted. He says, please ask David why he gave up playing the drums. How could you do that? It's not healthy. I didn't know you played drums.
Yeah. First of all, nobody said I gave up playing the drums. I have a Roland TD-7 really nice
electronic kit.
Electronic kit, yeah. I don't have an acoustic kit anymore, but I also think it's presumptuous to live in a residential area and blast out on the drums. Okay, so for those who don't know, I majored in psychology, and I had a few different minors. I minored in philosophy, English lit, and I also took jazz classes. So in my jazz classes, I learned how to do extreme drum pyrotechnics. And people have heard me say this. I have never filmed myself doing it, and I probably should. I could go on there right now, even though I don't practice very much anymore, and I could do a solo that is only people who are real extreme technical perfectionists would be able to tell the difference between what I could do right now without practicing and what a really true Olympic athlete jazz drummer could do in a solo. I mean, I am that good, and I'm not bragging. I'm just saying that you have to be to meet the minimum grade to play in a jazz ensemble. You have to be that good, period. Or you're not going to get a job.
No, it's not bragging if you can do it.
Yeah.
You know, it's only bragging if you can't.
Right? Well, for rock and roll, it's kind of special, but for jazz, it's de rigueur. It's part of the job.
Yeah.
You have to be able to do that.
I did not know that about you. Wow. Okay.
Oh, yeah. All right. I mean, I was really into jazz fusion, so I can do some really fast, technically precise stuff. If you've heard, I don't know, any fusion band you can think of, I've probably listened to it, enjoyed it, and tried to emulate the drumming that's on the album. So
you're saying like Return to Forever?
Yeah, Aldi Meola,
right?
Weather Report, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, wow, okay.
Phil Collins actually was my favorite with his work that he did in a little-known band called Brand X.
Yep.
I listened to their album Product, which actually was not one of their most well-received albums, but some of the drum stuff on that album, I heard it when I was like 15, and at that point I was just doing pretty basic stuff, and that was what ignited my passion to want to be a percussionist.
That's funny because I remember back in the 70s, somebody had said to me, hey, man, you know, Phil Collins is really a jazz drummer. I was like, nah. And I went and I listened to Brand X. I'm like, holy crap. Phil is like grooving. You know, it really opened up my eyes.
Yeah. He's got some back problems now, so he can't really play like he used to. But, you know, when he was brought into Genesis and Peter Gabriel was still the singer, there's no question they acknowledge that his technical ability profoundly transformed and improved their band.
Man, you and I, the next time you come on the show, let's just do all music.
Let's just geek out on music.
Let's just do a music show. Did the Anunnaki and Draco's trick the Atlanteans into a soul trap reincarnation cycle here on Earth to strand DNA and amnesia?
That is what the Cabal's disinformation agents are trying to tell us happened, but that's actually not true.
What
reincarnation is not a trap, and the Earth is not a prison. The Draco did have an agenda. That is true. And again, this type of a question requires a lot of filling in of cracks for people who don't already know what we're talking about.
Right, right.
So I'll do that because obviously these questions are very deep and, you know, we got to start somewhere.
Yeah, you know, let's start there. Well, you know what? There's so much. You and I were talking earlier today about our time constraints and how we were possibly going to try to squeeze everything in tonight. So, yeah, you know what? Let's just go deep now.
Okay. No problem. So let's just first finish setting out the palette that I was establishing before, which is you have a universe that started as a oneness. It divided itself into what we think of now as galaxies. The intention behind this was that oneness originally was a singular consciousness, and it got bored and lonely, which is the closest emotions that we could think of. It had all this creative potential, but it had no friends. It had nothing to look at. Nothing changed. It was just always the same. So it decided to create what we think of as the visible universe. And what we think of as galaxies are actually intelligent super beings. Stars are intelligent super beings. Planets are intelligent super beings. And as you step down from galaxy to star to planet, you've got a hierarchy of being. These are intelligent beings. They're extremely powerful. They're extremely creative. And then the next stage down from that is sentient beings that live on the planets. So those sentient beings are beings like us. And that setup of sentient beings on planets then plays out in a structure that has seven levels. Seven grades that we evolve through. And the first grade is mineral life like earth, air, fire, and water. It's not really even microbes. That doesn't come until the second level or what in the Law of One is called second density. That goes all the way up through all the animals and the whales and dogs and cats and everything except humans. And that's where you now have an individualized sense of self. And that's where you're in third density. Now you have fourth density. And at that stage, you could have positive or negative beings. Fifth density can have positive or negative beings. Then you have sixth and seventh. At the sixth level, you have to go positive, or else you will dissolve back into background energy in the universe. You literally cannot survive. So none of these bad guys get to exist past 6D. 7D is a very, very advanced level where all they really do is sort of create a virtual internet. They kind of go back through all the experiences they've had in all the previous levels. They create this living database that 6D beings can analyze to help people. And then that's the last gift they have to give before they get to reunify with this oneness that they came from. So with all that being said as backstory, the beings that are actually running the show here and making sure that the Earth doesn't blow up, literally, would be sixth density. And as I said in the Bible, those are called seraphim or cherubim. Mm-hmm. The Draco would be what you would call probably a fourth density or possibly, but unlikely, possibly fifth density negative. They may actually be 5D negative. I don't really know. What we do know about these guys is that they were humans that evolved up out of reptilian life. So that's another big, big stage in our learning curve here. Human life is ubiquitous in our galaxy, and about 40% of the universe is populated with human or hominid-type life, meaning it walks on two legs, it's got two arms, or maybe sometimes more, usually just two. It's got a head, two eyes, a nose, mouth, ears. And the planets that these beings incarnate on are very similar to ours in the vast majority of cases, meaning they have microbes, they have algae, they have plants, they have mammals, they have birds, they have reptiles. What we're seeing here is a very, very commonly used biome. It works really well. Everything is divinely designed to work in harmonious synergy.
Breathing oxygen.
Yeah.
Carbon dioxide, plant life.
Yep. There are some variations, of course, but what happens is you might have a planet that is predominantly ocean. And in those cases, sentient hominid life will evolve out of whales or fish or something like that. There's lots of those out there. You might have a planet where the bird actually becomes the prevalent form of life that then becomes human or hominid. And in certain cases, you have reptiles, where reptile life becomes human-looking. And so these reptilians, for whatever reason, ended up being racist in the sense that they only thought of other reptilians that had evolved independently from reptilian life on other planets. And they were out there looking at a lot of different planets. They wanted to partner up with other reptilians. So what they've done is they've gone around in the last 700,000 years or so. They've gone around and they've found all the other reptilians and they've merged their genetic material with them and conquered them. So they have their own little negative group that you could call the Draco, because apparently they originated in the Draco constellation, and also they are dragon-like, and the word Draco also means dragon. So what happened is these Draco, and this is all, when I'm telling you this, I'm combining this from several different highly credible insider sources where I'm seeing commonalities between what different people tell me independently who are in a position to know that this is what's going on.
Okay.
And this is more information than most people have ever been able to get about these guys before. A lot of this stuff is new. What we find out is that they were going around conquering worlds, and it pissed off a lot of people. And they really got their butts kicked. And they got their butts kicked badly enough that most of their attempts have failed, and they have been basically beaten back into one little corner of our galaxy. And that corner happens to be some of the stars that are near to us, such as stars in the constellation Orion, such as stars in the constellation Draco, a few other places like that. And they also have settled in our solar system in fairly recent terms. We're talking, apparently they got to our solar system somewhere in the neighborhood of 375,000 years ago.
Why 375?
That's just the figure that our new insider, Corey Good, gave.
I got
based on what he was given.
Okay.
Wow. I just turned my volume knob up and your voice exploded in my ears. Hello, Jimmy. Okay. I got you back down to a manageable human level again.
Yeah, I'm whispering too, by the
way. And when I reel my brains back in through my eardrums.
Okay.
Here's the deal. The deal. What are they doing? What are they doing out there? What do they want, right? You got to look at these beings, and I'm not saying this to be derogatory. It's going to sound this way, but when your dog leaves a doggy-do in the forest, it's not just going to sit there indefinitely. Nature has made certain species, such as little bugs, that will come up, and they love that stuff. That's like a breakfast banquet for them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the universe has designed itself so that there are intelligent life forms that absolutely are dependent upon our jealousy, our anger, our sadness, our fear. And the more amoral and chaotic and violent and ruthless and selfish they can make us, the more energy they get. And that energy is called Loosh. That's energy that they need, absolutely. It's more important to them than we would think of as money or food or water or any of the basic essentials for life. And when you become a being that feeds on Loosh, if your Loosh supply is interrupted for even one day, you will die. It's that, they are that dependent on it. And so if we were to have even one day on Earth, one single day where a preponderance of people on Earth had something to feel good about, most of these beings would die in less than 24 hours. They would be dead, gone, forever. It's that serious. They are that dependent on our fear. So what you need to understand then is that these beings deliberately custom designed a planet that they could use for fear farming, because they require this fear just like we require having money in the bank if we want to go to the grocery store and get something to eat.
Right.
So what they did is they actually did intermingle their genetic material with our own, and this goes back to what Zechariah Sitchin was talking about. And again, Sitchin tried to blame everything on the Anunnaki, so you got to look at his material as a suggestion, but not in any way ironclad truth. There's a lot of distortions in Sitchin's stuff. But the basic ideas are correct. There was a reptilian king called Anu. He did have two sons, Enlil and Enki. Apparently, Enlil was the bad guy. Apparently, Enki was the good guy. Bad guy for us, meaning that Enlil supposedly was the one who genetically engineered humans, and Enki was the one who then gave us the ability to reproduce, because they made us to be sterile, and we were supposed to just be workers. It's very likely that the planet Nibiru was actually Mars, and it's very likely that what they were doing was getting us to mine gold so they could chemtrail Mars's atmosphere with gold. Because when you spray that gold in the atmosphere, it helps to keep the atmosphere from escaping. And at the time that they were doing this, the Earth was really kind of unpleasant. It was swampy. It didn't have the kind of oceans that we do now. It was hotter. It wasn't as nice as it is now. So they didn't really want to live here as much as they took the indigenous ape man they found and upgraded it, hence the missing link in our fossil record where our brains suddenly double in size.
Right.
We have a lot of problems that are because of them tinkering with our DNA, and that includes the fact that we have bad backs, the fact that we get sunburns, the fact that the sun is bad for our eyes. There's lots and lots of strange things that we have that are because our genetics have been tampered with. And it turns out there's over 40 different ET groups that have spliced their DNA with our own. So it's a very big, strange situation.
Well, the Nibiru-Mars connection makes sense because, you know, the Martian atmosphere is blown away by solar wind constantly.
Yep.
And there isn't any atmosphere there, or very little atmosphere there. And that would make a lot of sense and would definitely connect those dots. I find
Well, and you also got to expand your mind a little bit and realize that these people have extremely highly advanced technology, and that would include little nanites that can be spread out. I mean, gold can be spread out to almost one atom of thickness. And so you get these little nanites that shake hands, and when you get enough of them, you can build this virtual skin around the planet's atmosphere.
Sure.
It's not just like there's little particles of gold that are floating around dumb in the air. This is a very advanced technology we're talking about.
And you had mentioned earlier with ancient aliens and angels and the non-connecting of the dots there. Would you also consider this negativity archons?
Well, actually, if you get into alchemical writings, the word archon refers to humans on Earth who act as agents for these negative extraterrestrials.
Right.
And that's a commonly misperceived term, because most people think archons refer to the extraterrestrials themselves, and it doesn't. It refers to their people on Earth, their ground crew.
Their agents.
Yeah, and that is a very important element, because in order to successfully fear farm the Earth, they did need to elicit the cooperation of people here on Earth, and that's where you get into this very exciting new subject that we've only learned about recently, the so-called parents of the Illuminati.
I was going there right now, and I don't mean to cut you off, but that's exactly where I wanted to take this. The fear and the negativity that they are feeding off of, that very energy, and if it is in their DNA, then that is where the lack of morals come from the Illuminati and the cabal, where, you know, we constantly ask ourselves, David, how can they do this crap? I mean, where's the moral structure? Where's the moral fiber? How can they do? Well, is it because they need it to feed off of?
Well, let me tell you something very bizarre that I heard from one of the new insiders. He, for a while, worked for the World Wrestling Entertainment, WWE. And every single time they do a major event where there's a big stadium of people, they have all these big screen TVs at the event. And most, if not all, of those big screen TVs, quote unquote, mysteriously go missing after the show. The reason for that is going to sound crazy.
Okay.
Just going to tell you the truth is that the crystalline structure of these television screens picks up enough of the louche that the Draco want those TV screens after an event because it helps keep them going.
It's like vitamin C.
Yeah. Now, see, that's stuff that I would never have thought of. It's so weird. People are going to laugh at me, but yet this is the stuff that you start to hear from people. That this energy that we make actually gets impregnated into the crystals within the monitor, within the LCD, the liquid crystal display.
So they use a new one for every event.
Every event that's in the budget. They got to buy new monitors, yep.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
That's some serious Big Brother stuff. You know, when you look at the screens over the crowds, and the fear is just pumping, and the energy is there, and then it's a sponge.
And I'll give you another secret, which is that they set these monitors up in the shape of, guess what? A pentagram.
I was going to say an eye.
They put them in a pentagonal shape. Because that's the magic circle. I don't like to talk about this stuff, but it seems like it's fallen on my shoulders to leak a lot of unpleasant things to people. And what I try to do is to not get stuck in the fear porn. Let's not stay in this place of, oh my gosh, the Illuminati are real and they're going to just wipe us out. And look, they've been trying to ever since they got their hands on the bomb. Back in the Trinity test. Where you got Robert Oppenheimer saying, this is not the first time we've done this. Because he had read the Hindu Vedas, where they very clearly describe the use of a thermonuclear weapon. All the same stuff.
Yeah, what would happen if we created a monitor that didn't absorb, and then they went to collect, you know what I mean? That would certainly shut them down, and it would let them know that we are aware.
That's one of many things that they've done. Another thing that, you know, again, this is a little disturbing, but what the hell, they will go to, like, you remember when there was that genocide in Rwanda and you got the Hutus and the Tutsis and they're going around chopping each other up with axes?
Yep.
And it was happening on a massive scale?
Yep.
They will literally cloak their ship, fly into our atmosphere, and park the ship over the battlefield as these people are dying and just soak it up. That's what they've been doing for thousands and thousands of years, and they need to keep creating wars so they can keep soaking it up.
Is that what's going on in Syria and Iraq with ISIS? Are they soaking that up?
Absolutely. Well, they're doing whatever they can, and they're having a harder and harder time getting loose. Here's another thing, okay? Robin Williams apparently did not commit suicide on his own. He was pushed into it. Because they tried to get Loosh from Paul Walker's death, the guy that was in Fast and Furious, and it didn't generate enough. They needed to create a bigger celebrity death to try to get enough. And then that worked well for them. They got a lot of Loosh off of Robin Williams. The next big thing that they did involving a celebrity on that scale was leaking the Cosby rape allegations. They've gotten a lot of Loosh off of that. That was like something they had saved up for when they needed it. But there's not very many of these left they can pull. That's the thing. They're running out of time, they're running out of energy, and they are in serious, serious trouble now because all the great religious prophecies, the Bible is only one example, there's 34 others that all say the same thing, that we go into this glorious golden age. And those prophecies were given to us by the benevolent extraterrestrials And for those benevolent extraterrestrials, these reptilians we're talking about are literally no bigger than little sand lizards in a sandbox. And they can watch what's going on in the sandbox, but they can't intervene in our sandbox more than we invite them, because the universe is governed by the principle of free will. And believe it or not, Gene Roddenberry was involved in some of these same channeling groups that were in Joshua Tree, and that's where the whole story concept and the architecture of Star Trek came from. So Star Trek was disclosure from the good guys. And the whole prime directive that Captain Kirk and Spock and they all had to work off of, that is absolutely what's going on.
The concept of Star Trek was way too ahead of its time.
Absolutely.
It seemed to have come out of nowhere. That and, of course, 2001: A Space Odyssey. When we went from just juvenile science fiction and storytelling, we just leapfrogged right into, in the middle of the 60s, into 2001 and Star Trek.
Well, they've been trying before that. Twilight Zone, a lot of disclosure got pushed out through that show. The Outer Limits is another show that a lot of disclosure got pushed out through.
Right.
There was a little show for a while called The Time Tunnel that had lots of stuff in it.
Yep.
They've done lots of movies, The Day the Earth Stood Still, various other UFO movies. I mean, there's been a very consistent effort to tell us what's really going on, so that once we find out that there are thousands of different extraterrestrials that we've interacted with, it's not going to come as a big surprise.
You know what I just finished this week, and I was kind of bummed out about it, but I finished Space 1999, both seasons.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I got to the last episode of season two, and it was pretty melancholy. You know, I was kind of bummed. What a great series that was, too.
That was one that had a lot of stuff in it. Buck Rogers was loaded with disclosure. Battlestar Galactica, the original one, was loaded with disclosure. They never got to finish the thought in the original one. Then they rebooted it and actually did finish the thought, which is, if you watch all the recent Battlestar Galactica, they end up landing here when their fleet is literally just down to the very last limping ship, and all they could do was crash land here. And they had no ability to get off the planet once they arrived.
Do you know where I think a lot of information was? And don't laugh, man. Just stay with me on this.
Okay, I'll try not to.
The movie They Live.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. I'm not going to laugh at that at all.
I mean, I watched. Oh. Yeah, I watched that now. And I remember, you know, the first time that I saw it, I thought, you know, this is a pretty cool movie. Nice little B movie under the radar. Pretty cool. I watch it now, and it's a friggin' horror flick. It scares the crap out of me.
It's a documentary.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
And at the end, when you see that portal open up underground, and it literally is a gate into the stars. It is a stargate. They have a stargate in the movie.
Yes.
It's right there. It's amazing. That scene is amazing.
For everybody listening, if you have not seen They Live, that's your homework tonight after the show. Just go and peep that out.
Totally. Yeah. It's an amazing film.
Yeah, Ray-Ban.
I'm not sure how that got made, honestly.
Right.
That pissed off a lot of people.
Unless it was done for a reason. That's all I got to say. But there's elements of that just scare the crap out of me. Let's talk about your current research before, once again, David, we run out of time. You know what's funny? If you remember back when you were on with us, it was Christmas Eve. And we got to the end of the show, and man, if they didn't shut us down, that was messed up. That was so messed up.
Some sort of force majeure technological interference with your ability to do the show. Yeah.
Right at the peak, right at the, okay, Jimmy, I'm going to drop a bomb. Okay, let's go.
At the end
David.
Of my sentence, yeah.
Yeah, right. Let's talk about, I think I just interrupted you. Did I?
Oh, it's fine. I wanted to kind of round out this thought because we were heading somewhere. We never quite got there.
Okay, let's do it.
One of the big things we need to talk about is the secret space program. And that is where it goes back again to these Draco. And it goes back to what I was saying were the parents. Now, the parents is something hardly anybody's ever learned about. This is brand new information. But I believe it's coming from a highly credible source, and I've now actually been able to vet out some of it with other sources. The Draco have the ability to give you some kind of nanotechnology injection And what happens is that your flesh becomes essentially robotic. You're still technically human, but only in the way that you look. Your body works an entirely different way now. And so you can take out a pocket knife and slice a big hole in your palm, and the nanites will just close it right up for you. So they've used this in various things like the television show Heroes, the character Wolverine in X-Men.
Right.
This rapid healing. There are 21 people on Earth that have this, and they're called the parents. And what happened is, this goes all the way back to the oldest one of these people, apparently is 13,000 years old, dated back to the time of Atlantis before the big catastrophic event sank the continent. This person was already given this technology, and these 21 parents were given the job. They are immortal, okay? In practical terms, they can live for thousands of years. And what they were assigned to do, find the people who are making the most money and have the most power and seduce them into our group. And that's where you get your 13 Illuminati bloodlines. Those were the people who simply through basic Darwinian survival of the fittest mentality came to the top of the food chain, made the money, got the power, took over control of governments and religions, and they were seduced by these parents who had all the advanced Draco technology. And part of the deal that the parents had is they've had working Stargates this whole time. So they can go out into space. There's plenty of other places they can go. They're not stuck here on Earth. That technology was not shared with the Illuminati bloodline families. Now the Illuminati bloodline families have found out the parents had this the whole time, and they're really upset about it. And what's interesting is that the alliance amongst these Illuminati folks is fracturing. And now the Draco have betrayed everybody. The parents actually have turned against all the 13 bloodlines below them. They now have their own faction. And several of these 21 people apparently are really tired of immortality. And they don't want to be alive anymore. There is a way that they can die, which is that they have to have the brainstem separated from the neck. And that also has been depicted in fictional works, including Highlander, the movie Highlander, where you chop off this guy's head and then you absorb his power.
Right.
So what happened is that you have this Draco agenda that led to the Illuminati being constructed. Now, people then say, well, wait a minute. If they want to screw us over, why are they telling us what they're doing? Why do they make all these movies about it? That's a very important point because the magic requires them to tell us what they're doing so that the enslaved are actually being enslaved through their own free will. So one of the things you hear Illuminati people say, and this is more the card-carrying kind, not the kind that have defected, is they say, if people are too afraid to see the obvious when we're shoving it in their faces, then they deserve to be slaves.
It's not free will if it's deception.
That's true. And I think what's happened is that they skewed far from the idea of it truly being free will enslavement. And they've used trickery more and more. And they've lied more and more. And as a result, these governing beings, these Seraphim and Cherubim, or sixth density beings in Law of One terms, the management, if you will, the good guys, are now able to bring them down, defeat them. So to get back to the space program, what's happened is the parents knew the Draco existed. The higher level bloodline Illuminati people knew the Draco existed. And they basically realized that even though they had this cult that saw them as gods, they're not in charge and they're just licking the boot heels of these 12-foot tall, essentially demon-looking beings that literally have vertical slit pupils, freaking reptile skin, and they're like massively strong beings, you know, 5 foot wide shoulder span, 3,000 pounds. You can't shoot them with conventional bullets. It'll just ping off of them. They're very, very tough. They're very strong. They're telepathic. They're telekinetic. They can remote influence people and make you walk around like a robot under their command. They're very frightening villains. And what's happened is, all the stuff that the Illuminati is doing doesn't make any sense. It's like, you guys are human beings. You live in here on Earth. Why do you want to kill the planet? See, they don't. their bosses do, the people that they're under the control of do. And it's these Draco that have been gaming out our planet as a fear factory, that we're generating fear for them. And they don't mind if a whole bunch of us die. In fact, that'd be like a big prosperity bonus for them.
Is that why the Rothschilds bank both sides of every war?
Absolutely. It's all about creating louche. And one of the sayings they say is, give Lucius his louche. Because this is a Luciferian belief system. And Lucifer, in this term, you could think of Lucifer as one of the Draco.
Which brings us to the Alliance.
Yes. If you're going to talk about stuff that's disturbing, you got to balance it with something positive. And there is a lot of positive stuff going on. So here's the deal. The military-industrial complex, Roswell was not the first UFO crash. They had stuff that they found going all the way back to the 1890s. Apparently out there in the Southwest, they dug up this craft that was very aerodynamic. It was all gold in color. We had one insider that came forward and told us that. So they've had stuff for a long time. There's ancient crashes they were able to go dig up. There's all kinds of cool stuff they found. It's all been kept hidden from us. By the late 1930s, the Germans were the first to develop flying saucer technology. The Vril Society was doing this. It's called the Hanebu or the Bell craft. Kronos is another name, the secret name for the project. They flew out into space, and then that's where they found, wow, there's a lot of people that have colonized the solar system before us, and they left some really cool stuff behind. We can seal it up, pressurize it, and live in there. And that's what they did on the moon and on Mars. So when you get into the history of the space program, you have the Nazis colonizing the moon and Mars, and then they lost World War II, but then they come back and they basically took over the military-industrial complex through trickery and through having better technology, blackmailed the U.S. because the U.S. did not want to kick loose the secrets of Roswell. So the Nazis start overflying the U.S. Capitol in 1952 with their Bell craft and essentially forced the U.S. to join them in a partnership. And this is where you get the militarization of our space and our solar system. So in the 1950s and early 1960s, there was something called the brain drain. Approximately 60 million people were recruited from countries all over the world. So you still have to this day plenty of Latinos, plenty of blacks, plenty of people that look like they're from India or Pakistan, plenty of Asians, and plenty of Caucasians that have lived generations out in space. They've never walked on the Earth. And if you got 60 million people in 1950s, and they are specifically told to have as many children as possible, you're now dealing with a large population. Plus, they have advanced cloning capabilities, and they continue to recruit people from our planet and bring them up there as much as they can. So this is ongoing.
Did they recruit brains, or did they also recruit brawn?
Mostly just the cream of the crop of the intelligentsia. And there's various movies that tell this story, such as When Worlds Collide. You want to go back and do research, go watch that film.
Yeah, it's great.
That's disclosure, yeah.
Yeah.
Only the cream of the crop were picked. It's like Noah's Ark all over again. And that's part of what these people are told. Something big, disastrous is going to happen on Earth. If you come out with us into space, you'll be fine. You're going to get to live in the Jetsons, Star Trek type reality. It's going to be amazing. Then when these people actually go out there, many of them are treated like slaves. And they have a very deplorably poor existence. They're totally monitored, and they just work their whole life. And they're told who they're going to marry, and they're told how many kids they can have, and all this kind of stuff. It's really disgusting.
If they hit you up, would you go?
I already am in contact with a group that has been part of the space program and has broken away. It's called the Solar Warden faction. There's five factions of the space program. You got Solar Warden was the first one. They're like the planetary police force. Then you have the Interplanetary Corporate Conglomerate, or ICC. That's guys like Boeing, McDonnell Douglas. They're out there building all kinds of advanced technology and selling it to various extraterrestrials that come in here to check out what they got. And apparently their technology is some of the best in, in our part of the galaxy, which is odd because we're considered very primitive in terms of our spiritual levels of advancement, but we're really good at building stuff. And so you got Solar Warden, ICC, then you have the Global Galactic League of Nations, which is sort of a UN in space. Then you have a military faction, and actually Global Galactic League of Nations are several subgroups within that, as we've now found out. You got a military faction, which essentially acts as police force and logistical support for these other factions. And then last but not least, you have the Dark Fleet, and that is the faction that is run by the Draco, where you're going to see the reptilians, you're going to see mantis-looking people, you're going to see ant-looking people, and you see certain humans that work with them that wear black uniforms that look like Nazi uniforms, and they're very, very militant and very arrogant. So what happened is the Solar Warden faction was the original faction. Their technology is no newer than what we were building in the early 80s, which is still really freaking amazing, but way less than the other factions. They broke away. They got tired of being treated like the mushroom treatment, kept in the dark and fed a lot of BS. So what's happened is they now have sided with new beings that have showed up in our solar system with technology way in advance of anything they thought was out there. We're talking about spheres that in some cases are as large as the planet Jupiter, which started, there was one of them that came in the size of Neptune into our solar system in the 80s. My insider, Pete Peterson, was there working with Ronald Reagan while this was happening, freaked everybody out. Because they see this orb coming in, it circles Pluto, circles Neptune, circles Uranus, and then comes into Saturn. It was cloaked, but they very easily could detect it with what they had at the time. And they eventually confronted this sphere, and the beings inside said, "We're just peaceful explorers taking a cruise around the galaxy." And then they said, "GTFO," basically. And so the beings left. Well, what happened is, right around 1999, 1998, thereabouts, you start to have over 100, actually hundreds, of spheres like this come into our solar system, either through the sun or from the outside, all about the size of Earth's moon. They wouldn't respond to hailing signals. Nobody knew what this was. The people in the Pentagon, the Illuminati folks in the Pentagon, thought, oh my gosh, this is the return of the Sumerian gods. They've come to help us usher in our new world order. They know we're going to do this 9/11 thing. They're really excited. They want to help us. But the sphere beings would never talk to them. So these spheres have just been hanging around, and they just spent time, but nobody talked to them. Nobody could figure out what's going on. Then cut to Mayan calendar end date around the year 2012 now. The big thing that happened in 2011 was in August 2011, approximately 26 underground facilities that we know of were actually portaled out by some super intelligence. The beings inside were apparently brought to a safe place first, and then after all the people were removed and all the goods were removed, the buildings and the whole place was actually imploded through the use of some sort of air pressure differential where the air was portaled in, and so the air pressure goes up super high, it cracks all the land, and then it subsides and crunches in and falls in on itself. So this was done to at least 26 underground facilities, and that's just what we know of. It appears that some sort of treaty was struck at the end of December 2011. That's when it stopped. And it appears that the Cabal was trying to fight this from happening by turning on HAARP at maximum intensity, and that's where you get your fish deaths and bird deaths. If you go back to right around the end of December 2011, birds were just falling out of the sky dead with traumatic injuries. Jimmy, you probably were covering this back when it happened.
Yes.
And the fish were all washing up, hundreds of thousands of dead fish washing up.
Birds falling out of the sky.
Just falling out dead. Yes. And they're already too crushed up by the time they hit the ground. Their bones have already been crushed. That was because they were using HAARP to try to defend against the destruction of these underground facilities, and it wasn't working. So they apparently made a treaty sometime at the end of 2011, say, please don't destroy our underground facilities anymore. We'll do what you want. Then in 2012, you get what ends up becoming approximately 100 gigantic spheres come into our solar system. And when I say gigantic, I mean that they had three sizes. One of them is around the size of the moon, like the ones from 99 to 2001 that came in. Then you got another size that's around Neptune, and you got another one that's around the size of Jupiter. And it turns out there's a lot more than 100 of them. It's only that we could see 100 with our ability to detect cloaking. There's a lot more than that. And why are they here? It turns out that our, and everybody on the space program on the inside knows this, our solar system is transitioning into a zone of heightened energetic strength in the galaxy. And what that means is it's like going into a cosmic storm where, like, if you take a pan and you put it on your stovetop and you don't put any heat under it and you drop a drop of water in the middle of the pan, what's it going to do?
Evaporate.
It's just going to sit there. Eventually, it'll eventually evaporate, but it's just going to sit there.
Right, right, right.
If you get that pan nice and red hot and you drop that same drop of water in it, what's going to happen? It's going to go zig, 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 and zing all over the inside of that pan.
Interesting.
Imagine now that the same thing happens to matter and to consciousness and to the actual signature of biological life that is our DNA. It's a DNA-activating, consciousness-activating, matter-energy, space-time portal-activating energy force. And so ultimately what appears to be coming our way is some sort of decisive shift in the way that matter and energy and consciousness itself functions. It is literally a quantum leap in what it means to be human, and our universe is designed this way where we have to fight through this incredible time of darkness and tribulation. That's how they call it in the Bible, but there's many other prophecies that talk about this. Take your pick. Islam, Judaism, Buddhism, Native American, Celtic, Druidic, you name it. It's all there. We go through this time of extreme suffering where people have fallen from spiritual teachings more than ever before. There's greater amounts of violence, greater amounts of illicit behavior, selfishness, jealousy, rage, great amount of depression and sadness. That all is part of what you could think of as like kinetic energy, as if you're pushing a spring down, okay? But you can only push the spring down so far, and then what happens when you let go of the pressure?
Boom.
You got a spring-loaded action.
Right.
That's what's happening, and the compression of the spring. I mean, Jimmy, I was out there trying to see any discussion whatsoever of the Illuminati online, and I'm talking now back roughly like 2003, 2004. It didn't exist.
Right.
You didn't ever see the word.
Right.
And I went and I contacted some of the big names of the time, and this includes Henry Mako and Greg Szymanski, who was doing a radio show, and Henry Mako was a popular guest on these radio shows. And I farmed them information about the Illuminati through this whistleblower called Savali, who'd originally come out in 2000. I'd been following her work. So I had a lot to do with reintroducing that when it had kind of all died out. Nobody was reading Robert Anton Wilson or any of that old stuff anymore.
Right.
So what's happened is now it's common knowledge. You got the Snowden disclosures. People are waking up. And what we don't realize is that the awakening is an energetically driven function.
Right.
The energy is cranking up, but what happens is that our apparent free will decisions of how we live our lives and what we choose to learn about, and are we listening to Fade to Black, and are we reading these books, and are we going to these conferences, we think that this is something that we just, oh, I just stumbled over it on the internet.
Right.
It's actually part of an energetically driven process using supremely high-level intelligence to use synchronicity to direct us to the sources of information that feed us this awakening. We are all going through at our own speed, through our own free will, where we can veto it and take it in digestible chunks at the speed we want to learn. We're learning what's really going on here. And it is ultimately a very, very highly positive thing. Because when we go through this shift, if you have done your homework, if you have followed the great spiritual teachings that these 35 different ancient cultures were all trying to teach us about being a good person, being a loving person, service to others, forgiveness, compassion, you're right back into the realm of what happens to these 160,000 people in Tibet, where they practice these spiritual teachings and they don't die. they transform into a light being, which is the next stage of what human evolution is built to do. We're built to go into this superhero type of character, but it was all laid out for us in the story of Jesus and the resurrection. But that's only one of many examples. You have it in other cultures as well. We just happen to have a celebrity worship thing where people get all hung up on Jesus having done it, and they don't realize that many others accomplished this as well. And that does piss some people off. I understand that. But look, you got these Tibetans that are following exactly what the teachings of Christ are. Their focus is to have every single thought be a loving thought. And if they can attain that level of self-perfection, then what happens is they graduate into this higher level of humanity. And so what appears to be happening is the people who are ready for it, when this spring springs, when this energetic springboard takes off, you'll be able to levitate, you'll be able to have telekinesis, you'll have telepathic contact with other people. All the Jesus miracles, pretty quickly, if you start trying, you'll discover that you'll be able to do this. But this event is built where there is a bifurcation. And that means that there's a lot of people who have generated very seriously bad karma for themselves.
Right.
They've gone around raping people. They're pedophiles. They've tortured people. They've killed people. If you're sufficiently on that side of the coin, then the way the universe is built is that timelines bifurcate, and the people who need that karma go through an Armageddon apocalypse.
They go into a dimension of darkness.
Well, the Earth is basically destroyed.
Yes.
Yeah. They experience a pole shift. They experience super volcanoes, which bury everything in about 30 to 100 feet of rocks.
Right.
And you just die with rocks falling on your head, basically.
That's a good spot to take a break. Let's take a break.
Okay.
Yeah, we're at the top of the hour. And when I come back after the break, David, I'm going to share with you the first time I heard the word Illuminati. It's fascinating.
Right.
I want your comments. This is Fade to Black. Tonight, David Wilcock, Bespoke Radio for the Masses. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. We'll be back. Hey, David, I got a couple of emails during the break. One of them is from Renee. She says, there appear to be an increasing number of people all around the planet who are channeling ETs. Do you believe that this is a concerted effort on the part of various ET races to prepare us for their open interactions with humans in the very near future?
Yes. I'll step in dog do again and get myself in trouble with the cabal, and we'll see if they leave us on the air for me saying this. But one of the things that the cabal apparently believes is that people who are the starseeds, who are getting the CT contact, are going to develop ascended powers before everybody else does. And so they are making a very strong effort now to try to find the people who are getting this ET contact and to corrupt them through their own free will, such as getting them to think in a more negative mindset, getting them to give messages of doom and fear, getting them to, you know, potentially be bought or bribed, that kind of stuff.
Back in February, you were on Coast to Coast.
Yep.
And you said that if, and I'm quoting here, if there is even one person who has ascended is going to be able to drive all the way, all of these bad guys, and they see it coming. It's only about a year and a half away for them. They know it's going to be, they know it's going to hit, and there's nothing they can do about it. And you were saying that there will be a small number of people who will have superhuman abilities. Well, a year and a half is August 2016.
That is a date that is sort of the best guesstimate based on a variety of different factors, none of which totally resolve. So it could be anywhere between end of summer 2016 through 2017 to 2018. So again, it's not like you can just pinpoint a window. What you have to do is look at the current of events that are taking place on Earth and how fast are people awakening because, and this is very important, this quantum leap is not some event that takes place at a pre-described time. It is an event in which the human consciousness reaching a critical minimum stage of awakening releases the pressure on the spring. That's the key. When do we grow up enough that it's time for the quantum leap? And so there's a window in which this can happen. And I was told all the way back in 2009 by this high-level insider, very high-level insider, who I call Jacob, he told me that the event that I thought was going to happen on the end of the Mayan calendar in 2012 was actually going to happen in 2017. And I hid that data because, unfortunately, part of what happens is that if I say something publicly, many people who are allegedly channeling will very quickly co-opt my information because they trust my sources and they want to be on the right track. And so then it becomes very quickly to a point where you can't tell the difference between, or it becomes harder to tell the difference between who's real and who's just parroting your information. So I sailed right through 2012, never said anything about 2017, figured, hey, maybe it's going to happen in 2012 after all. There was a lot of good evidence to point to that. 2012 came and went, but since that time, man, it is ramping up, and you don't have to be that ignorant. You don't have to be that intelligent either. It is smack in your face obvious that we are building up to something very, very huge here.
What were some of the abilities, David, that you were referring to?
Well, if you go back to the Hindu scriptures, they talk about the eight talents of Krishna. Krishna returns. You know, there's different messianic stories and different religious traditions. And we're talking about really incredible magic powers here. We're talking about stuff that you would see in some of the best sci-fi and fantasy movies. So we're talking about one person being able to instantaneously transform a landscape, even at, we're talking about stuff that significant. So somebody who would have the power to be able to levitate multiple automobiles at once and throw them in a direction, for example. Somebody who would be able to create any of the elements, like in The Last Airbender. I know people said, oh, it was a terrible movie, but it was interesting to see all the abilities these folks had. Mm-hmm. Some people can throw water, some people can throw fire, air, earth, etc. I don't think that necessarily all of us get this kind of large-scale, super-duper telekinesis right away. But it is true that if you go back to Tibet, there's all kinds of reports of these yogis flying around like birds, like flocks of birds in the air. And they would, for example, push their hand or foot into a stone, and they could liquefy the stone and leave a very nice footprint or handprint behind. And there's lots of examples of that on my show, Wisdom Teachings. You can go check that out, wisdomteachings.com. I have a whole 8-episode miniseries just on the Tibetan rainbow body where I show all these pictures of the handprints and the footprints and give all the teachings of how they got to this rainbow body. And again, basically you have to meditate all the time and you have to have every thought be a loving thought. Now, that does not mean that you have to be that good as a meditator. It's like the Olympics of spirituality to go that far.
Right.
What it says in the Law of One, which I believe is where the truth can be found, is all you have to be is slightly more than 50% good, service to others, you know, positive, loving, forgiving type of person. You could still be 49% selfish, manipulative, jealous, conniving, and controlling, and you're still good to go for the ascension. So it's not something that only the elite are going to go through. It's not like if you occasionally have marshmallows or a cigarette that you're not going to ascend, or if you get drunk once in a while or do drugs that you're not going to ascend. It's not like that. What really counts is character and how you treat people and what kind of thoughts are going through your mind.
Which takes us back to Allison's question at the beginning of the show. What happens to the little ones? The cats and the dogs and the horses.
Apparently, this is something very interesting that I learned through one of the new insiders. If you have human beings and you portal a human being forward in time, we have something called a zero-time reference, which is that the energetic body is anchored to the moment of conception. And if you move that physical body forward in time, it will automatically progress or regress to the appropriate age that it would be at that time in history. So if you're going to move a human in time, you actually have to change this zero-time reference and shift it, which requires advanced extraterrestrial technology. You can't just do it. So if, for example, you go through a natural stargate, and there's a variety of vortex points on Earth where that will happen, in the right planetary alignments at the right time of the year, you can end up portaled 300 years into the future, but what will happen is very quickly you'll become a feeble old man or woman and you'll die, unless you have the right ZTR shifting capability. Now, the funny part is, and I only learned this recently, animals do not have a ZTR. You can portal animals forward in time and they'll live out their lives just fine. So like, for example, Loch Ness Monster was a plesiosaurus. And there's been multiple cases of lake monsters and pterodactyls that have flown in or swum into a portal, portaled into our time, and what we're calling the Cabal or the Illuminati or military-industrial complex would have an advanced craft that we would think of as a UFO. And I guess sometime in the early 1970s, they picked up Nessie. They took Nessie out of Loch Ness. They've picked up a bunch of these monsters that come through, dinosaurs that portal through, and they've stored them in various facilities. So what's happening now is that, in reference to your question, we have a situation where benevolent extraterrestrials will portal the life on Earth forward in time to when it's safe again. So nothing dies an unfortunate death. It's not like some big global catastrophe. That's a common misperception. It only happens to the people who have invited that type of balancing karma, because, you know, if you stay on Earth and you go through the shift, even if you're not really a very nice person, you're only the most evil, negative people are going to ever see this negative timeline. It's possible that the positive people for a while won't even realize that this thing has happened. Only the most negative people are actually going to see this type of disaster. But they have, with their time-viewing technologies, seen that this is coming. Look at a movie like Interstellar. There's all kinds of movies that have the new Mad Max movies out right now. So many films describing this post-apocalyptic world, because they see that it's coming for them, but not for everybody else. So if you're not one of those types of people, you will go through this event. If you're not actually going to ascend, then probably what will happen is that you'll live out your normal life, you'll die normally, and then when you next reincarnate, you're just going to reincarnate on a different planet.
Is this why the Chinese government is trying to crush Tibet?
Well, I don't know if you could boil it down to something quite that simple. I do think that there are elements of the Chinese government that have been controlled by the cabal. Mm-hmm. And I think the regional tension with Tibet is multi-generational. But the Chinese government did go around. There's a really great book called China's Super Psychics by Paul Dong, where they went around. And interestingly enough, when you have people that grow up in extreme poverty, in many cases that hardship makes you more apt to develop these type of ascended abilities. So there are these kids in China, and this was documented. In fact, U.S. oil executives went to China and witnessed, for example, one of the most stunning ones is a little girl who can wave her hands in front of a whole room full of people holding flowers that haven't bloomed yet. And she time accelerates the blossoms, and the flower literally opens up right in front of your eyes as you're holding it in your hand.
I remember that.
Yeah. And there's kids that can teleport pills out of bottles that are sealed, and the seal is still good, but the pills end up outside the bottle.
I do that now, but that's a whole other show.
That's the late show.
Yeah, that's a whole other show. Hey, man, have you picked out your wardrobe for this weekend? I got to get you a fade to black shirt. You got to wear it.
Shameless plug he's got.
Oh, no. I'm just saying, you got to wear a fade to black shirt at Contact in the Desert. Oh, man.
See if I can fit you into my schedule. How about that?
Yeah, oh, have your girl call my girl. We'll get that all set up.
I
meant to tell you before the break. Check this out. You're going to love this, and I want your comments. Back in the early 70s, I suppose, let's just say I'm 10 years old. 10, 11, right in that area, 72, 73. I'm like 10, 11 years old.
Okay.
And I'm listening to shows like this on my little AM radio on my nightstand. And I would dial in these crazy late-night guys and I would get no sleep, and I'd go to school in the morning, you know, transformed, you know. You know. So anyway, late night, you know, it's 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, in the middle of the week, and I'm listening to this AM late night AM radio guy, and he says this. This is what he says. He goes, "Okay, man, you don't know this, but the Illuminati are running the world." Now remember, this is like 1972, 73. And I guarantee you, my eyes popped open, you know, my room is dark. I'm like, the Illuminati. And so I roll And I roll over and I write it down. I write down the Illuminati. Don't know if I spelled it right, but I wrote it down. And he said, "They go back to the caveman days, and they were the strongest tribes back then, and ever since then, back with Neanderthals, they were the strongest tribe, and they ran governments, and they ran Egypt, and they ran Greece, and they ran Rome, and the United Kingdom and China. You know, throughout history, the Illuminati has been the strongest tribe, and today they are running the world. It's a secret government." And so I wake up in the morning, you know, and I've had nightmares now, right? And I wake up and I go to my parents. You ever heard of the Illuminati? Nope. I go to school. I go to my sixth grade teacher, whatever his name was. It's escaping me now. I go to him, and I'm Mr. McWilliams. "Have you ever heard of the Illuminati?" "Nope, never heard of it." And it was crazy to me that I got this secret information from AM radio overnight that I never forgot to this day. I never forgot his description, the way that he laid it out there. But that was in the, you know, that was in the early 1970s, and I went around and quizzed everybody throughout life after that. I couldn't get information out of anybody. Nobody had heard of it, which to me confirmed what he was trying to say that night.
And in my last article, Secret Space Program Countdown Exposure, on my website, divinecosmos.com, I encourage everybody to go read that, because Madonna has come out and openly admitted, "If there was something called the Illuminati, I want to be in it." I know what the Illuminati is. The Illuminati are the good guys, and they're all the smartest and strongest people throughout history.
Why would she, David, why would she come out when you have everything on the internet and different, you know, fringe shows and websites and so forth that have been talking about this? Not only Madonna, but, you know, Jay-Z, Beyonce, what have you? You know, pick a star, Lady Gaga, and the fingers pointed at Madonna like that for so long, and then she turns around and comes out with a song called Illuminati. Why would she do
that? And says the all-seeing eye is watching us tonight. That's what it is, the truth and the light, you know. Unbelievable.
Yeah, why would she do that? Was she told to do it? That's the only thing I could think of.
Yeah, I mean, these folks in pop music, they don't rank very high in the order. I mean, they're not running the thing. And that was what I also pulled Kanye West's quote, where he got all excited about Madonna's song Illuminati. He said, "Yes, yes," and he was like jumping up and down on the soundboard because he got so excited about it. And he's now come out and said, "People think we're running the world. We're just hired talent. They just tell us what to do. And if we don't go along with it, we don't have a job." So you got to realize that the pop music people are just playing along to a script. And you have the artist Keisha, who came out and actually said in this song called Die Young that came out right before the Sandy Hook school shootings.
Right.
She's basically talking about let's just party and die young. And then in the video, she's dancing in front of an illuminated pentacle. You know, it's unbelievable. And then she comes out and says that she was raped by this guy that she was working with and that she was forced to sing those lyrics and that she didn't want to.
I think she's reptilian anyway. Oh, you laugh.
Look, the shape-shifting reptilian thing is a meme that David Icke introduced. And he since has altered it and said that he thinks these people have a spiritual reptilian influence but are not physically shape-shifting. And I don't believe there's any such thing as shape-shifting biological material. It just doesn't work that way. We all have the same basic laws. And I really encourage folks to not try to go on a witch hunt here. Madonna is basically doing what she's been told. People like Madonna, people like Jay-Z, Beyonce, Nicki Minaj, name them, you know, Lady Gaga, Katy Perry. These people are tortured by the Illuminati so fiercely. Many of them would do anything to get out if they could. They have been electrocuted. They have been raped. They have had to watch violence and death be done in front of them in a satanic ritual. It's horrible. And we should not be hating these people. We should be trying to help these people get free. Because most of the people that are stuck in this horrible cult do not want to be in it. And they would do anything to get out. So let's not go blaming them.
Are they in the cults? And look, there's since I arrived in Hollywood in 1983, I've heard rumors about this. It's like urban legend in Hollywood. You hear about it everywhere you go, the music business and the movie business. And for those people that are not in Hollywood that are listening now from another part of the country and they're rolling their eyes going, oh, come on. No, you know what? Live here. Move here and certainly become part of the industry in some way. It doesn't matter on what level.
Yep.
You're going to hear these rumors. And this is nothing that David or myself have made up. This is like it's a subculture that you kind of learn to accept because you hear it nearly daily. This is not whether it's somebody like Corey Haim, you know, God rest his soul, he was great. But you hear about these stories all the time. What was that? What was the director that, what's his name?
Brian Singer?
Yeah, Brian Singer and his family. He's one of the most, now look, I want to back up and use the word allegedly now, okay? Let's just use the word allegedly. But you hear about guys like him and other directors and producers and influential people throughout the industry. This is stuff that happens on a daily basis out here in Hollywood, and it's crazy. I know it sounds nutty.
But it is horrible.
Yeah, you hear about it every single day. There are, you hear about this.
When the ground falls out from under you with the noose on your neck,
right.
And the sudden stop is when your neck breaks. So they will be laughing, and they will be saying, F you, and you're a bunch of useless eaters. The moment
And his story and his involvement with you, it's all over the internet. There's been a lot of leaks. There's been a lot of disinfo on both sides of the fence. So I want to talk about Corey when we come back. How did you meet Corey? And And how far along are you with your research? And I know that you're going to be doing some additional disclosure. And if it's okay, I don't know if I'm throwing you under the bus. You guys have shot some video. Are you going to present some of that stuff too?
Not at Contact in the Desert. It probably won't be ready by then, but it's going to be ready soon afterwards, yeah.
How did you meet Corey?
He emailed me beginning in 2009 and shared some insider data with me where he saw a malfunctioning flying black triangle that was actually like a blimp held on a tether, and it hadn't quite inflated properly. It was like a gigantic triangular blimp. And he shared this story with me in confidence, and I said, wow, that's amazing. And we talked off and on. And I knew he was a supporter of my work, and he'd write me from time to time.
When did he see this?
He wrote me about this in 2009, and I think the event happened in the 1990s.
Check this out. In the last couple of weeks, I was with somebody that told me this story, and this is somebody that I trust like a brother, like a family member, okay, without going any further. Said that he witnessed up in Northern California in 2009 a craft that was being towed across the valley in Northern California, in the remote part of Northern California where there is nothing.
Right.
And it said that it was being pulled and it looked like a dragon on the end of a long cable. And but that it was moving like a snake, and that the craft at the end was it was a ball with a long tubular structure with long tubes on the end. He drew it for me, by the way, and it was being escorted by a couple of aircraft and helicopters across this large mountain range where there are no airports.
Yep.
There's no civilization, there's no towns, there's no nothing, and there was a few witnesses that saw this, but it was being towed.
And that's probably a test of one of the types of technology that they have that they were going to use to try to fake either like an alien invasion or like a biblical apocalypse, rapture, you know, demons in the sky, that kind of stuff.
He said the ball in the front that of the craft that was being towed, by the way, it was like it was hundreds of yards long. This wasn't some small craft.
Yeah, it's huge.
It was huge. And he said the ball in the front had a windshield. And he said it was so close to them that if there would have been somebody standing in the windows, he would have been able to see them. But but there wasn't anybody at the front of the craft. And he said he didn't know if it was damaged. It was being tested, but it didn't have wings. It wasn't. It was metallic.
Yeah,
and it was interesting. And the drawing that he drew, which I have with me now, it'll blow your mind. It looks like it is Buck Rogers, man.
Yeah,
it's not Battlestar Galactica, Star Wars. No, this is like backwards looking. It's more right. Buck Rogers ish.
Right.
Let's take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk more about Corey and take some phone calls.
Sounds good.
Let's go straight to the phones. Hi, you're live on Fade to Black. Say hi to David Wilcock. Who's calling?
This is Walt.
Hey, Walt. How are you, man? Are we going to see you in a couple of days?
Oh, no. I got a private invitation, but no. I just don't have time. But listen, I want to thank you, Jim. David, I got your book. I read it. Wow, what a guest tonight, and what an interview.
Well, thank you.
David, you know so much, and you talk to so many people that are in the know, and I guess a lot of them keep themselves private to the general public, but for some reason they talk to you. And you've been protected, I guess, because you're a hot item with the people that don't want you to talk, and I think I know who's protecting you. You're not going to believe this, my guess, okay?
Okay.
I think it is relatives from your future. And I think they're coming back and they're keeping an eye on you and keeping you safe.
I would actually agree with you. I think that's exactly correct. So wherever you got that from, high five, buddy. You're right.
Thank you for the call,
okay.
Walt.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, wow.
Let me just add one little thing here. These people don't come to me as much as, are we still on?
Oh, yeah, we're live.
That was just him. Okay. I'm waiting for it at this point. I'm like, you know what? If we get through this, it's going to be amazing. I sought these people out. And I just want to also say something, which is people say to me, David, you know so much. You have all this information. You're so intelligent, blah, blah, blah. I don't think of myself as a smart person. And to me, everything I talk about is very basic and very obvious. You know, I've been through the ringer. I've done the homework. The things that I say, I would not say them unless I absolutely believed with every fiber of my being that I'm telling you the truth. As crazy as some of this stuff sounds, I have gone through and I have vetted it out. I've done the scientific research and I have worked very hard to find these insiders. They don't just come to me. I have to go seek them out. That's a big difference from what he was saying. That's the only thing I wanted to add.
I'm going to I don't really want to comment from you on this because it's getting into dangerous territory, and you will understand why after you hear what I'm going to have to. Cortana says, is Scientology all part of this cult of Hollywood's louche junkies? And I'm going to say this. Although Scientology scares the crap out of me, and there's a lot to be said about it, I'd rather just research and not comment because, they're too vicious. And I don't want them, you know, coming after me, coming after you. They have long tentacles and deep pockets too, as well. Deeper than
I had an orthodontist in Louisville, Kentucky, who was a Scientologist, and we got talking about the Illuminati, and he definitely knew about it, but in his mind, they were the enemy. And Tom Cruise obviously is known as a Scientologist, and yet, if you look at either of his two most recent movies, which would be the Live, Die, Repeat, I forget what the rest of it was actually called. That's what they ended up using as the main thing on the title.
Yeah.
And then the other one was Oblivion. Holy smokes. I've done articles just on those movies. So it does appear that at the top levels of Scientology that there's some penetration in the Illuminati, but that group per se is not an Illuminati group.
Interesting. Let it lie right there. I have no issues with Scientology. None. I find it very fascinating, though. I'll say this. L. Ron Hubbard, with all that money, David, all that money, mm-hmm. and he never got his teeth fixed. I just don't get that. Why not get your teeth cleaned? I guess there's no dentist in Scientology. Okay. No, you just said he had an orthodontist. All right, moving on. This question just came in. Scientology, we kid. No, we don't, but we do. When you started the interview, David stated that the aliens are no longer taking people on board their ships. Please ask why. Also, has he ever heard of real robots working with the aliens? Interesting question. I think he's referring to like robots, Robbie the robot.
Okay, so question number one, I already did explain. We'll probably have this transcribed because I leaked a lot of new stuff. So we'll get this typed up. I got to also post the transcript of the one I did with George. I've been so busy with this video, I haven't had time to actually post these things, but... Yeah, so the reason why, as I said, people were not being contacted and actually brought on board the ships was because two things. Number one, they were being worshipped by fans and followers as if they were different and more special than everyone else. And number two, they started doing things like womanizing and developing egos and doing illicit financial things, you know, profiting too much off of their services, that kind of stuff. So the ETs are very strict about all this stuff, the good guys at least. They're very strict on that you have to live your life as an ethical person. And the way that the Illuminati would be able to take down somebody like me is if I actually had a breach in ethics. Now, people make up stuff about me online all the time. And I'm not saying that the average person has to try to live as perfect of a life as I do, in terms of the amount of diet perfection that I try to go for, the jogging, the exercise, the complete lack of any intoxicating substances or drugs whatsoever. You know, I've been sober ever since September 21st, 1992. Intend to stay that way. I'm not saying you have to be sober to ascend. It's just that if you want to do what I'm doing and not get whacked, you have to be absolutely an Olympic athlete, and just you got to be in it 100%.
Yeah, not only that, David, if anything did happen to you, you know, and you become a martyr, you know, let's knock on wood here, but then that just means everything that, you know, everything that you said, now people have to sit up and listen.
You can pull Obi-Wan's quote right out of Star Wars. If you kill me, I will become more powerful than you can actually. Yeah, that's exactly. They don't want that.
No, it's exactly right.
I got about 130 episodes I've done with Gaiam TV now, wisdomteachings.com. As I said, people can go watch that. $9.95 a month. You get this little Roku stick. You can watch it on your TV. There's Amazon Fire. There's Google Play. Cable is obsolete now, and you can watch whatever you want. They do not want to make me into a martyr, because so much of the material that I wanted to tell the world I've been able to release, and it's going to become far more significant if something happened to me. I know that they've tried there's various plans of how they could try to take me down. One of the plans I've heard is they've actually cooked up apparently some very fake audio of me where it appears that I'm saying very disparaging things. So if that ever happens, if people apparently have leaked information where I'm saying something on the phone and it sounds like I'm a Luciferian or I'm very disparaging or I'm saying racist things or whatever, it's not true. Okay, I really do appreciate all types of people. I have not womanized. I've had just 5 girlfriends in my life. I'm not a homosexual. Take your pick. I mean, they're going to try a lot of stuff apparently as this all goes big. Because we are going to get disclosure pretty soon, and that's the next stage of this. We're facing now, Greece is going to default on June 6th, and when they do, it very likely could take the euro down. And then when the euro goes down, the dollar is going to go down. The U.S. is already functionally bankrupt. They haven't announced this to the public yet, but there are already laws on the books right now that say that your money in the bank already belongs to the federal government. And they can use it as needed to bail themselves out. And they did the same thing in 1934 when they recalled everybody's gold in the midst of the Great Depression.
Yeah, I'm a firm believer in one thing, a safe in your house. I'm serious. your grandparents had it right when they were putting everything underneath their mattress.
That's right.
I have no issues with that at all.
Let me just finish that thought really quickly by saying that these bail-ins, apparently they are going to try to do this. They are expecting that the public is going to get really angry, and this is probably going to be the trigger that will lead to this mass arrest scenario I've been talking about. When that happens, it's going to be one of the biggest shocks and surprises. I know there's a lot of people that are pissed off because I've been talking about this since probably 2011. It hasn't happened yet, but the more I've learned, I can tell you it absolutely is real, and the alliance is far more complex than I realized, including the fact that there is one type of alliance that's here on Earth and they have goals, and there is another alliance that's actually working in the space program. And many of the things that the alliance on Earth is trying to do are ultimately going to be relatively obsolete or only short-term transitional stages. Because once the space program stuff comes into view, we're going to have technology so far beyond what we have right now. That alone is going to be the biggest quantum leap in society that we've ever had in recorded history.
What do you think about Jade Helm? Is that part of what's going on?
What I heard from Pete Peterson, who I trust and his sources I trust, is that it is largely not true, but that they have been using that to try to inspire preppers to get more prepared because they are expecting the U.S. to announce that it's bankrupt, that they're not going to, you know, Congress is not going to approve any more debt ceiling raising. The rest of the world is not going to tolerate it anymore. There's all kinds of weird stuff going on. Apparently, since January of this year, Saudi Arabia is not accepting dollars as payment for oil. They're only accepting gold. That has not been publicly reported. That's one of the things that get me in a lot of trouble for saying, but it is apparently true. And we're in trouble. The U.S. government is bankrupt. As I said in my show there that I did in San Mateo, California, New Living Expo, the NSA good guys, and there's good guys in every intelligence agency, they did make Bitcoin to have a backup so that if the Federal Reserve tries to crash the dollar, that we can reboot our currency off of Bitcoins. And Bitcoins cannot be tampered with. They cannot be hacked. And so recently Goldman bought a bunch of Bitcoins. They see the writing on the wall.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I found that really interesting. Let's back up. I have a couple of questions that now we're already out of time. So now I got to get these in. Do you think, with your knowledge of DNA manipulation, do you think that all of the critical leaps in knowledge throughout history, and I'm referring to mathematics, chafing of wheat, the wheel, fire, were all of these predestined and pre-programmed in our DNA? That knowledge was set to happen on said date?
Yeah. I don't know. I think we worship DNA too much, where DNA is sort of like the antenna. But then the question is, who's actually making the broadcast?
Right.
And if you get back to Walt was giving me compliments about the last book I wrote, Synchronicity Key. I think that's the one he was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And in the whole second half of that book, I talk about how history is cyclical and the same things keep happening. So it does appear that we are on an intelligently designed timeline in which synchronicity and forces of dreams and visions and spontaneous inventors coming up with things seemingly on their own. There are cases in history where, and you mentioned the mill for wheat as one example, all over the world simultaneously or almost simultaneously, the same technologies are developed. And it does appear that we are on a very precisely manicured timeline that is steered to make sure that we all go through this collective initiation and that we have a suitable type of technology to mimic the telepathy that we're going to have when we go through this quantum leap. And of course, I'm talking about the internet, where everybody is now connected to everybody with this little gizmo that they carry around in their pocket. And that is sort of like the training wheels to get us ready for this telepathic new reality that we're going to be in. And also, this new reality is not going to have money. And we're already seeing everything going in that direction. All these institutions that used to make money are collapsing. Everybody is downloading their music. Everybody is stealing movies. You know, it's so hard now to monetize any creative work because piracy is so widespread. Nobody even thinks it's a bad thing anymore, which is bad for the artists, like guys like you and me that are out there trying to play guitar, you know.
Right, right. you know, not only – and you touch upon something that is – I think it's critical, and it's not it, – it is music and it is movies, but you know what? It's books. It's photography. Yeah. It's illustrations. It's that
entire, all the writing, journalism.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, newspapers, Time Magazine, whatever. Pick something, and it is now that monetization part of our culture is completely gone, completely vaporized. Completely.
When is the last time that I paid to read something? I don't even know.
I don't know how they monetize. I don't.
Yeah.
I don't. It's frightening what the internet has done, and it also goes to another level, David. I use a simple file share program to move stuff around,
mm-hmm.
and I look at that website when I go to it. When I open up that program, was given to me free from another company. I didn't steal it. This is what we use. Here you go. You can download it from our site, but there's no advertising on that program. There's no payment for it. But there was a team of engineers somewhere that wrote the code that got it to work flawlessly, by the way. It's amazing. But where, you know, how that entire part, because of the internet, that entire part of monetization is gone. How does that company survive? I don't get it. But yet we want everything for free, for free, for free, for free, for free. And it's a road to nowhere if we stop and think about it.
It's as many people are now using this term, it's a race to the bottom.
Right? Oh, man. Okay, now, this just came in, and we have to leave on this note.
Nope.
David has to give us a piece of unheard of information live on the air. Just like you did last time. Let's have them shut us down, David. let's see. Give it your best shot there, Tiger.
Okay. I got a good one for you. I talked about these 100 spheres that have come into our solar system. We now know, and this gets back to the Corey question, so I'll try to integrate some things here because we didn't really talk about him.
No, how did we do that? How did we – that was the main part of the show for me tonight.
And it didn't happen.
It didn't happen. I love you, brother.
I got your back, buddy.
Yeah, man.
We're back to back going down in a hail of gunfire here.
Yes, we are.
All right, so what's happened is we've had these 100 spheres show up in the solar system since 2012, and they have given the Solar Warden people advanced technology that is allowing them to defeat the Cabal. Some very strange things are going on. There's all these ETs in what we call embassies. Some of them are in the Earth, and some of them are spread throughout our solar system, Mars, the Moon, and a variety of other moons and asteroids. And these sphere beings have, as I said, Solar Warden was the breakaway faction amongst these five space program factions. The Blue Avians are one of apparently five types of beings that are in these spheres. And we're talking now humanoids that have bird-like heads. They're sort of a morph between a bird and a human face. They're 8 feet tall. They have indigo blue feathers mixed with some purple type feathers, depending on which one you're talking to. And these beings have now given Solar Warden the best technology on the block. And Solar Warden is now enforcing a no-fly zone on the Earth, so nobody can fly in or out of the Earth anymore unless they're permitted to. And there's been something put around our solar system called the barrier, which means that nobody can get in, nobody can get out, and communications cannot get in and out. One of the interesting things is that when the barrier was put up, the vast majority of all the reptilians in their so-called dark fleet were outside the solar system, and they cannot get back in. Another interesting thing that happened is that the royals of the reptilian, the Dracos, that are still here, were willing to betray and asked if they could betray everyone in the Illuminati below their own cadre of royalty, meaning only the top level reptilians. They were going to betray everybody else in their order if they were just allowed to get the heck out of here. That's how apparently real they see this coming event as being for them, because for them, it's curtains time. For everybody else, it's the cosmic springboard. So what's now happening is that there are all these meetings taking place with people on Earth. This gets back to the question of why aren't they bringing this up into space anymore? They stopped doing that in the 1950s and early 1960s, but now it's happening again. People are being contacted. People are being brought up into space. And there's hundreds and hundreds of people apparently are being brought up there in advance of this big mass arrest thing that is going to happen. We're going to see the Illuminati exposed. We're going to see their plans exposed. It's going to be the greatest wake-up call. It's probably going to end up being called the Illuminati Tribunals. It's going to be all over TV. It's what everybody's going to be talking about. Probably once this happens, you're not going to hear any Lady Gaga or Katy Perry or any of that type of music being played on the radio when you walk into a restaurant or a grocery store, because people are going to know now what was going on. There's going to be a huge backlash against this stuff. You're going to see heads of state, major celebrities, major world leaders, as well as shadowy international bankers being brought out on trial. Many of the top-level witnesses who are the people that can bring down the Cabal have already been brought off planet because they are in such danger from the Cabal and from the angry public that they are being held off planet so that when these mass arrests and the tribunals take place, they will be testifying from a secure location, meaning not on Earth. The Cabal is trying to find a place to hide, but there's nowhere they can go where they're not going to be picked up. Apparently, a lot of them are planning on moving to Brazil. They do sort of have this militarized nation within Brazil. It's sort of like a separate nation state, 12-mile perimeter, all border militarized stuff with like a little green zone inside where they all have these houses. A lot of them apparently have moved all their stuff there already. They're expecting this thing to happen anytime. And I've been hearing this over and over again, and it is like the boy who cried wolf. And it upsets me because I'm out there defending the alliance. I don't get to talk to anybody in it directly. It's all on a need-to-know basis. And I'm apparently not at a level where I need to know who these people are yet. But Corey is meeting with them regularly. And so I'm getting now a lot more specific details. I'm able to ask questions. I'm able to interact with them. I ask them something. They give me the information. And what they are telling me is, for God's sake, David, get off your ass. Hurry the F up. Do as much as you can to release this stuff as fast as you can, because it's all coming to a head very, very soon. And what the, one of the most juicy things that I was just told, somebody said they want new information, is that within the next 6 months, where we're going to be 6 months from now apparently is very different than where it is right now. And everything is going to accelerate to warp drive over the course of the next 6 months. That's what I'm hearing. So I hope it's true. I'd love to see that it comes true. You know, I have all these dreams telling me that I'm going to be extremely public, extremely exposed. Already when I go out in public, people spot me a lot of the time, but I still can reasonably go through life without having everybody wanting to talk to me and take a selfie. Apparently in the future, it's not going to be like that. I'll be like a Snowden. Everybody's going to know who I am, and I'll probably have to have security and just, you know, not leave the house, basically just stay home all the time. But I certainly do not live in a militarized compound.
Well, I can live without Lady Gaga, but I kind of like Katy Perry.
Yeah, I mean, these people earned the right to be famous by being talented. And again, they're being tortured. They're victims. They're
right,
not.
Right.
They're being raped. They're being abused. They are not happy people. That's why you got guys, you know, like Kurt Cobain killing themselves and stuff. I mean, it's horrible to have a career. It's funny because you think, I want to be famous. I want everybody to know my name. But if you do it through film acting or you do it through being a music star,
right?
Good God.
Right, right.
It's not the life you thought you were going to have.
It sounds like you were describing Thoth, too. Were you?
Yeah, well, that is an earlier example of these same beings. Yeah, absolutely.
Very interesting. Very interesting.
They came back. They were back there during the time of ancient Egypt that you see cave paintings of these humanoids with bird heads. And they came back, and they are here to make sure that this whole thing goes smoothly. They brought in these 100-plus spheres. They're basically energy balancers. They make sure that our solar system isn't going to have a catastrophe so that it modulates the energy increase as it's happening and keeps everything smooth. They're keeping this thing very carefully balanced. The cabal is not going to be allowed to do mass depopulation. They're not going to be allowed to do mass atrocities. They try and try and try,
right,
but they're not going to be allowed to do it.
Thank you so much, David.
My pleasure.
We've got two shows we've got to schedule. We've got a full music evening that we've got to get booked, and we've got to do one thing that we've got to put on the front burner over the next couple of months. We got to do a Corey show, and there's a timing with other stuff that you're working on that it will be a necessity, and we've got to get that done. And we need to make that commitment to the audience because we dance. I don't know how we blew past that tonight, but we did.
Well, there's a lot of stuff that's coming out. We are going to have Corey do a miniseries on Gaiam TV so that everybody who's a subscriber is going to be able to watch that. And I've also got 6 hours of footage in the can. I don't know how much it's actually going to turn into when I make it into videos. I may actually do a series instead of just doing all in one because there is so much stuff now that I'm going through it that's so freaking good. And it's going to be mind-blowing for people. I mean, I'm also putting together a document that is 130 pages when it started where I would just type as Corey was telling me all this stuff. And I'm trying to arrange it into a linear order so that all the data that he told me is in like a book, and that's going to be free. And then that way, nobody can say I'm hiding anything or that I'm sequestering information. It's full disclosure. It's all out there because that's what the Alliance is telling us. I don't know why exactly because I'm not on that need-to-know level, but they're saying get out as much of this stuff as you can, as fast as you can, because the SHTF. So there you go.
Thank you so much. We'll see you in about 2 or 3 days, man. Contact
all right, buddy.
Desert, Joshua Tree. David Wilcock, everybody. Thank you so much, David.
My pleasure.